Welcome to another edition of The Narrow Mind. Today is the 16th of August, 2008. This is show number 935. Our guest today will be Cy, the owner of ProofThatGodExists.org.
Coming to you live from our studios in Southern California, Real Christianity in the Real World, The Narrow Mind.
I hope you've learned something tonight, because you've got a lot of learning to do here.
I've learned once again that the atheist can't account for morality. That's what I've learned.
Oh, are you kidding?
Do you sin as a Christian?
Please know that there are different degrees of sin. Worry
is a
sin.
Oh, okay.
I do worry.
You're a Roman Catholic.
I'm answering your question. I'm answering.
Okay, so obviously you didn't get all the Roman Catholicism out of your system when you claimed to have been born again.
And now our host, Gene Cook Jr.
Hello there. Welcome to another edition of The Narrow Mind. You are listening to Jonathan Goundry and not Gene Cook, because as we speak, we're having one or two technical difficulties with the phones. So he's over there and I'm over here. So I guess it's going to be my job to introduce the show to you all. And he did actually have an outline that we were going to work from, but that is hidden from my view at this site. So this is pretty much extemporaneous on my half right now. But I do want to tell you guys that I did have an exciting Thursday, didn't I, Gene?
Yeah.
Yes, he agrees, yes. I had a very interesting Thursday because I went to Hollywood. That's right, an Englishman in Hollywood. And I was walking the boulevard there, and I went also to Venice Beach. And I got to admit, I had a jolly good time, although I did come across a lot of demons, if you don't mind me saying. And there was one or two individuals that certainly did scare me. So I had a good time, and the highlights, I have to say, would be seeing Don Johnson's star on the walkway there, you know, the famous walkway which has all the different stars. Well, I came across Mr. Don Johnson's star, and apparently there's been a few photographs taken of me next to this star, and I think Gene may actually have a copy of those photographs, and he's threatened to publish them on the blog. You got to understand, I'm actually praying for him at that star. It's not a shrine, okay? So if you see those photographs circulated on the blog, that's what's going on.
All right, I'm back.
How much of you want to edit that stuff out?
No, it was pretty accurate.
It was pretty accurate.
Based on what I was told.
Yeah, and then afterwards, I didn't finish the story, but afterwards, then I went to see David Beckham play with LA Galaxy. And of course, I was trying to get his attention, me being English and him being English, and basically that was where the connection stopped. But nevertheless, I thought if I could just shout out his name and say something English that only he would recognize, that he might turn and say hello to me. But he didn't acknowledge me.
Now, what would be an example of something English that only he would recognize?
I would shout out Preston North End.
Preston North End.
North End, yes. Preston North End. Because Preston North End was the first real club that he played for.
Ah.
And it's a very low-key, low-division team that only an Englishman would know about. So I was going to shout out his first team, his humble beginnings.
I
Unfortunately, the crowd was very excited to see him as well, and my voice was simply drowned out, and he never heard a thing. But that aside, I had, as I said, a jolly good time.
All right, well, we've got a special guest that's going to be joining us now. His name is Cy. He's the owner of ProofThatGodExists.org. Cy, welcome to The Narrow Mind.
Hey, Gene, Jonathan, thanks for having me back.
Hey, good to be with you again. Now, you live in Canada, right?
I do.
What?
Worcester, Ontario, just outside of London, about 2 hours from Detroit.
All right. You know there's an Ontario here in California right up the road here about, I guess it's about an hour.
Yeah, my dad actually, he got pulled over in Ontario, California once and showed the cop his driver's license, and the cop was going to haul him in. He thought it was a fake.
Because it said he was
in Ontario, Canada.
That's funny.
Never recognized it. So.
Apparently, these people moved down from Canada. The people that founded Ontario.
Why would they do that?
California, my man. So we're going to be talking about your website here in just a moment, but I've got a question. Oh, let me also announce to our listeners, we were having a problem with the phones. I think it's fixed now. What happened was the cordless phone was left off the hook, and so it didn't charge. And so I've hooked up another phone, and I'm hoping that we can take your calls now. So we did have somebody, at least one person that I know of, trying to call in. So if you'd like to call in, our number is 1-800-466-1873. Now, we're only looking for atheist callers today. We're looking for atheist callers because there's a myth out there among Christians, and I say it's a myth, that atheists are probably the stupidest people on the face of this planet. And I don't personally believe that. I know some atheists that are very sharp, and I would like you, if you're out there and you're an atheist and you know that you're not stupid and you're not self-deceived, of course, then I would like you to help us out by calling into the show, because a little bit later, in a few minutes actually, we're going to be talking about Sy's website, proofthatgodexists.org. A lot of people always ask, you know, where's the proof of God, and how come God doesn't do miracles, and I want what Paul had, and stuff like that. So we're gonna give you more than you can digest. So if you'd like to help us out today, and you're an atheist, and you're not stupid, give us a call, and we'll put you through, assuming that the phone lines work now. Now, the question of today is, or I should say the question of the day, is what does an 80s transvestite pop star have in common with square dancing and worshiping Jesus?
Now, I've heard this question before. Don't tell me.
Rings a bell.
It does, doesn't it? It's right at the back of my head. You're just going to have to show us, Gene.
Well, a lot of times, you know, we take a little bit of heat here on the Narrow Mind because we're constantly exposing all the stupid stuff that goes on in the Christian church, all the silly stuff, the antics and everything, the stuff that is designed to try to reach unbelievers, but at the same time, unbelievers think it's pretty stupid themselves. Basically, the only people that are being reached by this kind of stuff are Christians who are trying to retain some level of coolness. But the problem is that they were never cool even before they were Christians. So they don't have a whole lot to work with. But I've got a video that was sent to me this week. There was a guy by the name of Pete Burns. I think he was from England, Jonathan.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is, you said a guy by the name of Pete Burns. He's not so much a dude anymore, but...
Did he get a sex change?
Well, to use his own words, okay, he said he's evolving, so...
He wasn't so much a dude when this video was made.
Yeah, but... And nevertheless, I was going to say something else there, but I think that'll be fair.
So Christians are notorious for taking things of the world and trying to redeem them for Jesus.
Redeeming 80s pop music.
So is this an example of redeeming culture? I don't know. Yeah. But let me play this for you. This is a worship service, all right? This is a worship service, and you got this guy with a faux hawk. There's some lines in the side. His name is Rick Pino. And here, I just want you to give a listen to this.
Your shoes off in this place. And while you're down there, grab a couple socks. Come on. Everybody gonna grab something to spin. You guys ready? Adam, you guys ready? Go ahead, guys.
They got some feedback going off their soundboard.
Come on, put those things up. Spin your shoes, sock keys, I don't care. Everybody, you're
you
not
can see
spinning anything.
Thousands of
on,
young men and women jumping up and down in the church, spinning socks.
Yeah! Now sing this. You spin me right round, Jesus, right round. That's a record, Jesus, right round, round, round. You spin me right round, Jesus, right round. That's a record, Jesus, right round. Sing it out. Right round. You spin me right round, Jesus, right round. That's a record, Jesus, little bit louder. You spin me.
He you got to admit, the guy's pretty talented.
Now, pretty good voice.
He's got a good voice.
Yes.
He's got a good voice. It's not a real hard song to play, so it's kind of hard to determine if he's a good musician. This is him on the... By the way, he's playing the keyboard.
Yeah, a bit of techno there, right?
Yeah. Now, just when you thought that it couldn't get any worse, he actually digresses into a square dance. Now, this is about 5 minutes later into the song. I think it's coming up.
Break it down. Grab your partner, do-si-do. Don't be shy, just let it go. Grab your partner,
now they're square dancing.
Oh, yeah.
A Holy Ghost hoedown.
A Holy Ghost hoedown. All right, enough of this rubbish. You get the point.
That actually reminds me of a story. I don't know if you're interested. But
yeah.
There was a woman in my small group, and I love her dearly. She's fantastic. But she was relaying a story of a summer retreat that they'd gone to, and they took off their socks and shoes in order to wash each other's feet to display servanthood.
Yeah.
And she was just telling me how much she loved the experience, and I said, if I was there, I'd have walked out. And she was kind of offended, and I said, well, look, I said, that was done in a time when people wore sandals, and it was actually, you know, a necessary function that people's feet were washed. I said, if you want to display servanthood, wash my car.
Yeah, none of the disciples had athlete's foot because it was a dry climate. Now, we're talking about funk in your shoe, as Jay Walker would like to say.
Yes, famously said. Yes.
All right, so, Cy, tell us a little bit about the website. How long has it been up?
It's been up a little over 2 years now.
2 years, and I notice you've got quite a few comments, both negative and positive.
Yeah, well, I was a dyed-in-the-wool evidentialist, as you know, and your debate with the infidel guy, I think that was the second thing I heard. The first one was the Bontenstein debate, and then yours.
Mm-hmm.
And I delved headlong into presuppositionalism, and I've never looked back.
Mm-hmm.
I
Good.
Consider you one of my mentors, because I listen to the show often, and I learn a lot every time.
Well,
and
thank
Jonathan
you.
As well.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Now, you recently had an email dialogue, with the sales manager of a local radio station up in Canada.
Yeah, that's right. I was actually in the States about a month ago. And on my way home, I was driving, and I turned on this local radio station close by me here. And they were selling mattresses, but they were doing it in the tone of a Southern evangelical preacher. You know the type, you know, the hallelujah, praise
right.
the Lord. And they were selling mattresses. And I was offended. I thought, you got to be kidding, you know. They would not dare do this with any other type of religion. You know, they'd be afraid to, but they have no problem mocking Christianity. And I thought, if I call or email this radio station, that they're just going to blow me off. They're going to say, I'm sorry, that's what we do. So I thought I'd go a little bit of a different route. What I did is I emailed them, and I asked if they would advertise my website. And since they don't mind mocking faiths, why don't we do it in a mocking tone of Muslims and of Islam? And I came up with a commercial that was, well, I think, pretty offensive to Muslims. But
now, you're treading on holy ground there.
That's right. But the thing is, I thought it was along the lines, I mean, they offended my faith. Would they publish a commercial that offended another faith?
Right.
And I thought if they turned me down, then I would have grounds for a complaint against for the Canadian Human Rights Commission. Because in Canada, I know you read that that blog last week about all the problems down in the States, but it's the same thing up here. We have Christians that are getting fined $10,000 for not publishing, a printer who would not produce homosexual literature. And, you know, he recommended somebody else to do it, but he would not do it. He was fined. And there was a minister who just preached from the Bible about homosexuality, and he was fined and forced to do a public apology against homosexuality. So the Canadian Human Rights Commission is running rampant here.
Wow.
And I thought, well, if they, here they are mocking Christianity, maybe they'd be interested in taking up my cause. But first I had to make the case with this radio station.
So what was the criteria? Did they say that they had any type of criteria governing what they would permit and what they would not permit?
First of all, the first thing, I sent them an email, and I did not say that I was upset or anything like that. All I said was, you know, maybe I'm behind in the times. Would you produce this commercial? And they immediately came back, and they said that, we understand your concern. I thought, oh, okay, I've got them now, because I did not express any concern, but they saw the mockery in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they said as long as it was not illegal or immoral, and they didn't find that spot was illegal or immoral, that it was fine to publish. And, I thought, of course not illegal or immoral, but to me it was offensive.
So you asked what the rate would be to
That's right.
advertise your own commercial on the radio station.
That's right. And I made the commercials sound so that, you know, I was pretty sure they would turn it down because it was totally accurate as far as what Muslims believe in the Islamic faith is, but it's not something that they put on the front page.
So did you have the commercial produced?
Well, I did, and I don't know. I think you've heard of it, haven't you, Gene?
I've got it right here.
Well, I guess the listeners could listen, hear for themselves, decide for themselves if this is something that they think their local radio station would air.
Now, ultimately, they rejected it, right?
They did, in fact, reject it. Like, after you play it, I'll read some of the stuff that they said to me.
Okay, here it goes.
Hey, Ahmed, have you heard about this new Christian website based on logic?
Yes, sir.
I have www.proofthatgodexists.org.
It's the bomb.
Praise be to Allah, we finally have a logical Christian website. If Muhammad, peace be upon him, was not dead in his grave, he could be online visiting this fantastic website.
Do you think that this site is easy enough for someone as young as Muhammad's 6-year-old wife to understand?
I don't know. Why don't you ask your wives when they catch up to you?
Oh, they aren't my wives. Polygamy is not allowed in Canada. They're my fiancés. We're hoping that since homosexual marriage is now legal, that soon polygamy will be allowed too.
Hello, girls. What do you think of that logical Christian website? www.proofthatgodexists.org.
Well, hey, Cy, what was that noise there after?
What was that final abrupt? Like, it was like a monster awakening.
That was some camel snorting. In one of my emails, I did the PS. I said, do you have anybody at your station who can make camel noises?
Wow.
I'm sure when they read it, they were getting a kick out of it. And I'm sure in the back, they were thinking, uh-oh, we're in trouble now.
Is it simple enough for Muhammad's 6-year-old wife to understand?
Yeah. You know, I bet you they even doubted that, but if you look it up, it's accurate. He married her when he was 6, and I guess she moved in when she was 9.
Wow. So. Yeah. Too much.
Yeah. So that's not going to be airing anytime soon other than on the Never Mind.
No. Go but ahead. The thing is, I had no intention of airing anything like this because, I have Muslim friends, and I don't want to mock their faith, but I figured, just in case they say yes, I have to have something ready so that, and I would have gone through with it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have liked to, but I would have done it.
Yeah, so the intention behind this is not so much to mock Islam, it's to mock them, really, in their hypocrisy and inconsistencies. And I, for one, am far more offended with a network like them, a broadcast network like them, as opposed to a Muslim who's actually thinking through some issues or has some religious convictions.
Right. I have Muslim friends and, dear friends of mine. And, not something I would do, but I just thought if they're going to mock Christianity, I'd give them a taste of their own medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, the slogan of this radio station is 80s, 90s, or whatever. That's the type of music they played. And in one of my emails, I said, well, you could sell advertising spots by saying our ads mock Christians, Muslims, or whoever. So I was really rubbing it in with them.
Yeah, actually, it reminds me of a similar situation that I heard of in England. This is actually from N.T. Wright, of all people, but he was right in this regard. He was saying about there was I think it was BBC Radio 2, that every Sunday they would have like a 5-minute slot for like a Christian devotion. And some of the secularists got annoyed and said, wait a bit, why can't we have our devotion at that time slot as well? Like, do it like on a rotation. And N.T. Wright had said to them, well, listen, you've got the rest of the week to broadcast your secular devotions. Can't we have 5 minutes? For our Christian devotion, and I felt that was a fair point, that as soon as we want to have our say and state our beliefs, then there's a big problem. But they're allowed to have, their beliefs promoted almost 24/7 on the public airwaves.
Right.
So, yeah, good for you that you
caught
them. They tried
to sweet talk me by saying that their station manager was a Christian, and maybe like to come in and speak with them. But, the Christian that's going to allow this stuff on their radio station, I think, basically
right.
The type of Christian they are.
That's right. The convictions are not exactly going to go super deep.
Well, before we take a look at the website, proofthatgodexists.org, we've got a call from Jim. And although he's not an atheist, he's got a question, and I want to answer his question before we get into the website. Now, we're just asking for atheists to call today at 1-800-466-1873. Let's go to Jim calling from Connecticut. Jim, welcome to The Narrow Mind.
Oh, you know, I didn't know you just wanted atheists.
Well,
I can play one for a few minutes.
That's right.
No, I'm serious.
I guess my wife's not doing her job over there.
No, don't blame her now.
I told her, I said, only atheists. But I knew she wrote in here that you're not an atheist. So,
you know, if you paid your bills, your phones would work better too. You know.
Well, it was a battery issue, actually.
Oh, okay. Hey, well, you know, I was going to ask you just briefly about Mark 13:32, where it says, and I heard this on another Christian talk show, where it says that only the Father knows about the return of Christ.
Yeah.
So you agree that only the Father knows?
At that time that it was spoken, yes.
Okay, but that means the Holy Spirit didn't know.
That's what it says, yeah.
So the Holy Spirit's not omniscient?
Well, the Holy Spirit is omniscient, but it says only the Father knows.
Right.
Not even the angels. So
I would think that would kind of make...
Wow. Are you all right there, brother?
Yeah, I live on a busy street.
I mean, they come to arrest you for asking such questions.
I'm not sure how to take. Well, you know, since you have Scion, and I've been to his site a number of times, it's very good. Let me ask all you guys this question. I've noticed, you know, our friend Pastor Dusty Seeger.
Yeah.
Paul Minata, a few others over on that site that he posts, a Trilio blog or whatever it is.
Try a blog, right?
Yeah, I noticed that a lot of former, presuppositionalists are kind of moving towards some of the work of Alvin Plantinga. Now, I've been reading him lately, you know, and his whole idea is that, you know, we're rationally justified for believing in God without evidence. And I noticed these guys have been working his thoughts and his ideas into their apologetic. And, it's seeming to me that a lot of people are kind of moving away from presuppositionalism. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that's actually a very good question. I do have
moving away from presuppositionalism?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, and I've been pondering this myself, not as a candidate for Reformed epistemology or somebody who's thinking about moving away from presuppositionalism.
Right.
But some of these guys that I've talked to who have made somewhat of a shift to the more Alvin Plantinga school
right.
of thought, I think that it's quite appealing to the Christian philosopher, the Christian thinker, because I think it's got more credibility in the world of philosophy and apologetics.
Yeah, especially in the world of philosophy, Jonathan.
Yes, in high academics. And,
yes.
And I think presuppositionalism is seen a bit... Banson's word? A bit amateurish?
Yeah, well, also kind of seems like a bit old hat. You know, I mean, Plantin came along with Gods and Other Minds in the late 60s, and that really did throw the philosophical world on its head. Even atheistic philosophers realized the power of that book. And so I think you look at Van Til or Gordon Clark now, and you kind of look back and say, well, you know, we got something new here. And it is powerful, too.
Right.
To some degree, though, I think that this is an indication that some atheists are winning, because I think the presuppositional argument is fantastic. And I think we have a gun here, and they're trying to get us to throw away the gun and pick up a pea shooter.
Right, and I think that's a fair comment.
You don't have to worry about me going away from presuppositionalism. If anything else, I'm going more into it.
Yeah.
Because
I think
that the more you get into any kind of evidence, then the more foothold they have to attack your argument. They don't like presuppositionalism, and I'm sticking to it.
Right, and we can't be... either intimidated or thrown off when some atheist philosopher who has notoriety or credibility says, well, we're not even taking that argument seriously. Well, because of course you're not going to take it seriously. You're unregenerate.
Right. Well, yeah. But
I mean, I'm putting it over simplistically there, but, I feel that there's a real temptation in order to come across more credible.
Right.
Not to ditch the presuppositional argument, but... to kind of have the more cumulative case type of approach whereby we come across like we're exploring all of these issues. We're not just presuppositional. You can't explain where logic comes from.
Right.
That type of approach.
Well, yeah, but then again, I mean, that's a good point right there. I think we as theists have a lock on the moral question. I don't care what anybody says. They have no grounding for morals.
Well, that's a transcendental argument. which doesn't make sense apart from presuppositionalism.
Yeah, absolutely. If God doesn't exist, there's no objective moral truths. But it's different for logic, I think. Because for logic, even people that would be, open to our position, it's much more difficult.
Wait a minute, open to our position.
Like Christian evidentialists, okay. Like William Lane Craig, for instance. You know, he's a good Christian, a very solid Christian, and I've heard him actually speak. This whole idea of logic being, kind of this necessary thing out there. How should I put this? In the sense of, yes, we would say God thinks logically, and God creates in a manner that, with rational beings, and it's an objective. Logic is objective, but the atheist could just turn around and say, hey, listen, it couldn't be any other way. The law of non-contradiction has to hold as soon as there's a physical universe, because a physical universe can both exist and not exist at the same moment. And wouldn't it be so much as an abstract law is something that you would naturally come to the conclusion? How's that sound?
Sorry?
How does that sound?
Yeah,
The thing that I find that the atheists most have problems with is the phrase the impossibility of the contrary.
Right.
And they say it's an unargued for premise that God is a necessary precondition for logic by the impossibility of the contrary. Now the thing is, I'm not a logic expert, and there might be problems with the impossibility of the contrary because I cannot, unless they present me contraries, I can't refute them.
Right.
But the thing is, through revelation, we know that this is the only way. But the thing is, they might want to try and poke holes in that logical argument, but they never offer a contrary. And if they do, it's weak that a 2-year-old could refute them.
You're absolutely right, Cy. That's absolutely right.
Yeah, and you can't say that the laws of logic are a necessary component of the natural universe without explaining how they intersect with man's mind.
That's another thing that I still haven't kind of grasp. I mean, I could say the pot on the stove is either there or not there. It's either or. We live in an either or universe.
Yeah,
it couldn't be any different.
Mind though, that one thing that Bonson said is when atheists bring up this point, he says, "Why isn't it sound and fury signifying nothing?"
Right. No, that's a great point.
Right.
Yeah. All right, guys. I just want to bring that up and kind of see what your thoughts were about planting a. And some of the stuff going on. I think we should have it all in our quiver, I love Sci. I listen to all of Gene's debates, so yeah. Okay. All right, guys.
Man. Good talking to you.
Okay.
Take care.
Yeah, I think planting is fantastic for Christians.
I thought he was a presuppositionalist.
Yeah, well, I think to some degree he is. He offers evidential arguments, but I really love his stuff, his naturalistic arguments, and I enjoy him.
See, there's a difference between saying that... that evidence is not a necessary requirement for presuppositions. And saying, and there's a difference between saying that and saying that we don't have any evidence.
Yeah.
Because the evidence is there. It just, as soon as you make it a requirement for a foundational belief, now you've just set yourself in an endless...
regress?
Regress, right. Yeah.
Actually, presuppositionalists are the ultimate evidentialists because we say all evidence points to the existence. God.
Yeah, so maybe I'm oversimplistic, but I can't see how one can avoid presuppositionalism, because we all have presuppositions.
Right.
Yeah.
And we all approach the facts with a certain worldview in which we interpret those facts. So I'm not particularly, I don't want to use the word intimidated, I guess I just did, but I'm not particularly discouraged when I hear about certain presuppositionists kind of moving over to a more Alvin Plantinga approach to apologetics, because I think it can serve its purpose in that school, in that arena, sometimes referred to as the ivory tower. But for the garden variety pagan or unbeliever on the street, the presuppositional way is the way to go.
Just for interest's sake, guys, I just quit my job in May, and it was a very good job. I worked at Toyota, and
congratulations, you lazy bum.
Been working harder ever since.
I understand. I was going to say, I understand quitting Toyota or any car sales floor for that
I matter. Worked in, I was a tradesman, and I did, I was doing all right there, but I went to an evangelism conference for my church, and I disagreed with 90% of what the guy said, and I thought, something's got to be done about this. But one of my main goals about this is to write a book on presuppositionalism, and all these fellows that are, moving away from the core of it, that's fine. I mean, they have the intellectual arguments, and they appeal to the, you know, 2% of the people that can understand them. I certainly can't.
Right.
But I want to write a book that the average person can get in his hands, and I think I'm going to direct it more towards Christians so that they know how to argue on an average level with the average person that they run into.
Right.
Because I don't think there's any book out, any book that I pick up on presuppositionalism, I like them, but they're so difficult that I have to read them, you know, many times for me to understand.
Yeah.
I want a book that everybody can understand.
I would agree. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be taking a thorough look at your website, proofthatgodexists.org.
The Narrow Mind with Pastor Gene Cook Jr. Love him or hate him, you're still listening to him.
Hello, Joe's Plumbing. Can you hold, please? Wow, my phone's been ringing off the hook. I kind of knew that people used the internet to find businesses like mine, but I had no idea how many people really did. Ever since I signed up with elocallisting.com, I got more business than I ever got through the Yellow Book or the expensive junk mail pieces.
eLocal's powerful online search system gets your business found online for less than $3 a day. Visit us at elocallisting.com or call us today at 877-220-0075. That's elocallisting.com, where the search finds you.
Hey, thanks for holding. How can I help you? Hey, can someone pick up the phone?
Visit us today at elocallisting.com at 877-220-0075. That's elocallisting.com, where the search finds you.
This is Dr. James White, and I'm addicted to The Narrow Mind with Gene Scott.
Cook.
What?
Cook. Scott. Oh. Scott's dead.
Oh, did I do that again?
Yes, you did.
Oh, man.
Hi, this is Pastor Zach from Seeker Community Church. We've started a new service that I want to tell you about because I'm very excited of this new concept in ministry. You know, they do surveys of Americans and say, what are most Americans looking for? Is it happiness? Is it time? Is it family? You guessed it, it's time. And here at Seeker Community Church, we're more than willing to help you have more time. We understand that you spend 40 to 60 hours a week working hard, trying to earn money for your family. So the last thing you need is some hour-long service with some 20-minute sermon that drags on and on, endless worship songs with people singing the same verse over and over again. So we've eliminated all of that, and we have a new church service called 15-Minute Church, where you're in and out the door in 15 minutes. Let me tell you how it works. You arrive at our brand-new facility, and you can drop your kids off in the drive-thru. No more time wasted checking them in and out. You just drop by and drop them off. Then you can get your coffee to go. Also, let me break down the service for you. First, we have 3 minutes of worship, where we sing same great hymns, same great songs. We just sing them through once. Then we have our 7-minute, pithy, interesting sermon that will help change your life. Finally, the last part of our service is we have 5 minutes for offering. If you don't want to stick around for the offering and you need to get going, you can make it 10-minute church by signing on for our auto debit. So please, come check us out at Seeker Community Church on our new 15-minute service. We have them 3 times. We have them at 10 a.m., 10:15, and 10:30. We're off the 215 in Murrieta. Thanks.
The Narrow Mind on this Saturday morning. Our guest today, Cy, the owner of proofthatgodexists.org. I've got it up on my browser right now. And the first screen that you come to when you pull up the website, and by the way, we should probably define the difference between a transcendental argument and presuppositionalism? Because presuppositionalism is really a broad category within Christianity. To be presuppositional from a Christian perspective is simply to presuppose the scriptures as your authority, as your source of truth, or your highest authority. I suppose that'd probably be the best way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But a transcendental argument is an argument that is interested with the requirements or the things that are necessary for something to be the case. And so for the world, basically it goes like this. For the world to be the way that it is now, there are certain things that must be the case. There are certain things that must be presupposed and they must be in place. And a couple of those things, as we've already touched on, are the laws of morality that we find in human beings, and because we're made in the image of God, and also the ability to reason and employ the use of logic. It's something that we do as human beings. Oftentimes we take it for granted, but this website really challenges you in those areas. And so what we want to do is we want to take a look at this. You still with us, Si?
Yeah.
All right. So the first page here, when we pull it up, it says, what do you believe? Absolute truth exists. Absolute truth does not exist. I don't know if absolute truth exists. I don't care if absolute truth exists. Now, I would imagine that in many cases you have a 19-year-old pimple-faced atheist that stumbles upon your website, and he's mad at his parents because they wake him up early on Sunday morning. They don't let him stay out till 3 a.m. on Saturday night because they have to go to church, and so he's on the internet looking for a reason not to believe in God. Or at least something that he can argue with his parents. So he comes over here and he's already mad to begin with. So he clicks, I don't care if absolute truth exists.
Right.
And when he does that, it says, thanks for visiting. And there's an exit sign.
Uh-huh.
And then it takes you to Disney.com.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, I like that.
Hey, I just had somebody commented recently. They thought I was getting money from Disney for that link.
No, you're doing it for free.
It's a joke.
Yes.
I figure if you don't believe in anything, you might as well have fun.
Right. I mean, if you don't, you might as well exit out of the website if you don't care. I mean, why are you here?
Can't help you if you don't care.
So another box that an atheist might check is absolute truth does not exist. So if he clicks on that one, he's brought to another screen that says absolute truth does not exist. And you have two choices. Is this absolutely true or is this false? So, once again, he's confronted with his own worldview, which includes the belief in truth. In this case, absolute truth.
You know, surprisingly, I get people at this stage who say that there should be more options. I say, what other option do you want? Either it exists or it doesn't.
Yeah.
They say, well, maybe it exists. And then I say, well, is it absolutely true that maybe it exists?
Right.
You know, it's just an infinite regress then.
Right. So, ultimately, you boil it down to yes or no, true or false.
So when it says absolute truth does not exist, if I say absolutely true, it takes me back to the first screen. It says this is not a glitch. Think about it.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it used to go back to the first page, but then people thought there was something wrong with the website. They weren't thinking about the implications of the choice they just made.
They thought something was wrong with the website, right, when in reality something was wrong with their worldview.
That's right.
So we're back to the first page. And so let's say that I choose...
Well, usually from absolute truth does not exist, you know, they don't like that. They figure, okay, I'm going to go to I don't know if absolute truth exists. And that's usually the next thing that they click.
And when it says I don't know, it says I don't know if absolute truth exists, absolutely true or false.
Again, it's making another truth claim. It's an absolute truth claim to say that you don't know something. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it sends them back to the first page again. So
yeah.
A lot of times, you know, they get frustrated at this point and just leave. But, you know, they're curious and they want to know what's going on. So they click the one that I want them to click. And the one that they actually do believe is that absolute truth exists.
Okay, so when I click on that link, it says, you've likely heard that it's impossible to prove that God exists. You've heard wrong. Not only can the existence of God be proven, denying the proof undermines rational thought. It is true that God does not need anyone, let alone this website, to prove his existence. The Bible teaches that the existence of God is so obvious that we are without excuse for denying it. No one needs proof that God exists. I simply offer these 8 steps to the logical proof of God's existence in addition to what you already know, and may be suppressing. So here we've got go to step number one or exit. So let's go to step number one. Step one, laws of logic. In the introduction page, I mention, quote, logical proof. The first step towards the proof that God exists is to determine whether you actually believe that the laws of logic exist. Logical proof would be irrelevant to someone who denies that laws of logic exist. An example of a law of logic is the law of non-contradiction. This law states, for instance, that it cannot be true that my car is in the parking lot and that it is not in the parking lot at the same time and in the same way. What do you believe? And so you've got two options again. Laws of logic exist. Laws of logic do not exist.
Just for interest's sake, I had a fellow at work deny that the laws of logic existed a couple months ago. He knew exactly where I was going with the argument, so he figured if he admits that laws of logic exist, then, you know, I have them. So he said, no, they don't exist. And this was at a time that we were doing a course at my work, and we had a, you know, discussion about it. He ended up calling me some bad names.
You know what I like to say to people when they say that the laws of logic don't exist?
I say, well, then they do exist.
I tell them, the purple thought smells cold. I said that to a guy, an atheist at work. He started rolling. He said, okay, you've thought about that, haven't you?
Well, the funny thing about this was that it was the fellow and I, we were in a course. And at the end of this course, we were handed a questionnaire to see how the course went. And the third question, he wasn't talking to me at this point anymore. I tried to, you know, make up with him, but, you know, he wasn't talking to me anymore. But the third question was, did the course follow a logical outline? So I looked and I leaned over and I said, hey, what'd you get for number three? Because I know if I wasn't there, he would have, you know, thought nothing of filling that out, but he denied logic.
he had to check no.
Leave all right. Blank.
If I don't choose laws of logic do not exist, then I'm forced to choose laws of logic exist. And it's interesting that most atheists try to argue and say that Christianity, all religion for that matter, but mostly Christianity, is illogical. So if I click on laws of logic exist, it takes me to step two, laws of mathematics. The basic operations of arithmetic are addition, subtraction, multiplication and division.
Yes.
Laws of mathematics, then, are basically descriptions of what happens within these operations, and more complex ones as well. For example, with the law of addition, we know that if you take four things and add them to three things, you end up with seven things. What do you believe? Laws of mathematics do not exist, or laws of mathematics exist? Have you had anybody say the laws of mathematics do not exist?
Surprisingly, well, in the last 2 years, a lot of people have said that to me.
And how do they account for 2 plus 2 equaling 4? Do they just deny that that's universally the case? Is that what?
Well, they all sorts of different things. They say, well, in a different base of mathematics, it doesn't equal 4. And then I say to them, well, in base 10 mathematics, is it absolutely true that 2 plus 2 equals 4? Then they have nothing to say again.
Mm-hmm. You know what I like to say when people say the laws of mathematics do not exist? I like to ask them if they have change for a 50.
Right. Well, if you click on mathematics, laws of mathematics do not exist, and I give them a little scenario.
Here, open your wallet. I'll get it myself. Thank you. Okay, so if I click on laws of mathematics do not exist, it says, if you believe that the laws of mathematics do not exist, what would you do in the following scenario? Let's say that you walked into a bank and asked for change for a $100 bill. If the teller handed you only two $5 bills, would you be satisfied with his or her personal interpretation of mathematics, or would you appeal to a universal law of mathematics to show that he or she is wrong? I suspect the latter. You see, you deny that the laws of mathematics exist, yet you use them all the time. Unless you reconsider your position in this matter, your road to the site's proof that God exists ends here. It is my prayer that you come to understand how irrational and inconsistent this way of thinking is and return to seek the truth. This is almost like getting booted off of a reality game show.
The thing is, you know, each stage along the site, like the very first stage, absolute truth exists, that's already proof that God exists. And the next stage, laws of logic. So, you know, at this point, I could actually let them continue in the site, you know, since they've already admitted that logic and truth exist, absolute mm-hmm. truth exists. But, you know, I figure I'd rather have them stew in the fact that, you know, they just denied laws of mathematics, which they know actually exist.
Right. Yeah. They need to feel the full weight of such a claim, that if you deny the laws of mathematics, the laws of logic...
I can hear the atheist now.
Yeah, you can.
How does this prove the Christian God?
Yeah.
Oh,
so what? So you got logic.
All right, we're getting to that.
Another
yeah.
complaint that I have is they say, this does not prove that the laws of mathematics exist. And I say, well, look at the question again. I'm asking what you believe. Do you believe that they exist or not? Mm-hmm. You know, we'll deal with proof another time, but do you believe whether they exist or not? And stick to what you believe.
Mm. Step three, if you acknowledge that the laws of mathematics exist, then you're brought over to step three, which is laws of science. Laws of science are basically descriptions of what matter does based on repeated observations, and are usually expressed in mathematical equations. An example of a law of science is the law of gravity. Using the law of gravity, we can predict how fast a heavier-than-air object will fall to the ground, given all the factors for the equation. What do you believe? Laws of science exist. Laws of science do not exist. Now, I've never heard an atheist that denied the laws of science exist.
Well, I'll send you some of my emails.
Because the laws of science, I mean, science is their God.
Right. Yeah.
So you've got atheists that are saying that there are no laws that govern science?
They will say absolutely anything to deny this proof.
Yeah.
It's amazing the kind of things they say, and I'm sure that they'd be embarrassed if they were repeated. They wouldn't say that in an atheist form, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, yeah. Okay, so let's say that I click on laws of science exist. It takes me over to step four, absolute moral laws. I have seldom heard anyone deny that the laws of logic, mathematics, or science exist, but I have often heard people deny that the existence of absolute moral laws, or the existence of that. I have often heard people deny the existence of absolute moral laws. Whereas the laws of logic, science, and mathematics describe reality and how things do behave, absolute moral laws describe how humans ought to or ought not to behave. Rape and child molestation are two examples of absolute moral wrongs. What do you believe? And you've got two choices again. Absolute moral laws exist. Absolute moral laws do not exist.
Now, this is obviously the point in the site where I get the biggest hang-up. I was actually thinking of taking this out because it's not necessary for my proof. But, you know, I figure having people deny that absolute moral laws exist is a good thing to have them sit with as well.
Yeah.
And normally they say, well, these things were permitted at some point, you know, in history or in some country. You know, I say, but that's not what the issue is. The issue is, you know, was it wrong or not?
Yeah, and I think Van Til and Banson spoke about using the transcendental argument, how it's really in your face and it's confronting the whole of the man, not just his thought life and the way he views mathematics, but it's also a challenge to his moral life, his moral fiber. So I think this question does find its place in this website quite appropriately. Yeah, if you don't mind me saying.
Thanks, Jonathan.
You're welcome.
So it asked me, what do I believe? And so I'm assuming that most atheists are going to click on absolute moral laws do not exist.
Right.
So when you go there, it says, seriously, what do you believe?
Now, I added this page since the last time we spoke because it used to just go to an explanation, but I thought, you know, I'm going to have to, you know, get them to actually face up front, click on, you know, something that is morally, you know, repulsive just to show them what their worldview amounts to.
I feel that the best test to determine whether or not you really believe that absolute moral laws exist is not whether you feel that atrocities like rape and child molestation could be right somewhere in the universe, but whether they could ever be right if perpetuated against you or someone you love. Please keep in mind, I'm asking you what you believe, not what you think anyone else believes. So there's two choices here. Molesting children for fun is absolutely morally wrong. Molesting children for fun could be right. Have you ever had anybody click on the second one?
Most of them click on that.
Molesting children for fun could be right.
That's right. Well, because they know the implications of clicking the other one.
Yeah. So they'd rather go with something as wicked as that.
You know what? So is there any way that you can keep track of the stats on this site?
I do have a stat tracker. I don't know if I can check to see how many people click on that, but I would say most of the atheists, you know, I mean, they click on everything.
We need to set this up because if we can show that 95% of the atheists that come to your website believe that child molestation is acceptable, then I think we could really maybe start to make atheism illegal. I'm just kidding. Just kidding, atheists. But think about it. You got a bunch of sickos out there.
Yeah, actually, the thing is, I know they're not sickos. I believe that they're not sickos, but they have to click on something that's morally repugnant to be consistent with their world.
Yeah, and if you, some atheists I've talked to on this issue, they're going to use that word could.
Right.
Well, it's not good. It's not for me, and I certainly disapprove of it.
Right. Hey, I got a great idea, Si. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that guy that I had on the show probably about a year and a half ago? I can't even remember what his name was. Jack, he was a guy that had a website, and he has a problem. He's attracted to young girls.
Oh, yeah, I remember that guy, yeah.
He likes them around somewhere between the age of 6 and 12.
Right.
Right? The police are following him around. His first name is Jack. I'd have to look up what his last name is. But he's got a website where he goes out into public parks and he takes pictures of little girls. Mm-hmm. And he posts them on his website. And, I mean, the parents are just absolutely upset, as you can imagine. I would be, too.
Yeah,
outraged. But you ought to put a link to his website here.
From this button, yeah.
Right. For molesting children for fun could be right.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, and then, or maybe a page in between that says, you're now being transferred to somebody who has more in common with you.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I think I'll do that on the next page. It'll include some links for, you know, people that they can share their common interest.
I'd really like to get the stats on this, because if you've got atheists that are coming here, and the majority of them, as you say, are suggesting that molesting children for fun could be right, that's pretty bad.
The only problem with that is I think that a lot of Christians click on it just to see where it would lead if they would click on something like that.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And, I mean, I think out loud here. You
where
know,
does it lead?
Yeah, I'm saying directing it to a website such as that man, I don't think we should give that man any attention for
that's
his...
That's true.
So, but I can understand the power that would have if an atheist was to click on that and then all of a sudden on this website... of this man.
Right. I mean, what are they going to do? Complain?
Right.
This guy thinks it's right, so there you go.
Exactly. I mean, once you say that it could be right, you've got no legitimate complaint.
That's right.
Silly atheist. Where's my soundboard?
Where's your soundboard when you need it?
You stupid fundy.
All right. So let's
go back. Just for interest, like, too, about a month ago, I booted off my sixth atheist forum. It was a free thought forum, but... Uh-huh. But they didn't like me debating on their free thought forum. I thought that's pretty interesting. They only like free thought when it comports with their atheistic reasoning.
Interesting. Okay, so if I choose molesting children for fun is absolutely wrong. Oh, well, let's go back, because most people, I think, are going to say absolute moral laws exist. I mean, at this point, they're going to be forced to. Otherwise, they're going to go to Jack's website. I know Jonathan doesn't like that idea, but...
I think, you know, but... That's a good idea. I think I should clean that up a little bit, because it's a big diatribe here. But just denying absolute morality is ridiculous. I give a couple scenarios, you know, on the next page to show the foolishness of the reasoning. But, you know, maybe something along your lines would hit home more.
Or you could just kind of put your own page up there with a picture, maybe two or three pictures of convicted pedophiles, and you could put across the bottom, congratulations.
Yeah. Right, yeah, that would be, yeah.
Birds of a feather, birds of a feather flock together, or something like
that. Yeah.
See you in jail, my friend.
Can ask them if they
no, see you in hell.
Should be released.
Yeah, exactly. Ask them if they'd like to be pen pals. At the bottom, these men are all looking for pen pals. And if you don't write them, they said that's okay. They'll see you in hell. We're only showing the folly of atheism here, folks. Let me see here. Step number 5, the laws of nature exist. By reaching this page, you have acknowledged that the laws of logic, mathematics, science, and absolute morality exist. Next, we will examine what you believe about these laws. Are these laws material? Are they immaterial? In other words, are they made of matter or are they abstract entities? Are they physical or non-physical things? And there's two choices here. Laws of logic, mathematics, science, and absolute morality are immaterial. The laws of logic, mathematics, science, and absolute morality are material. So, I can't think of any moron.
Surely, he doesn't exist.
Surely, there's not one person who thinks that they can stub their toe on the law of non-contradiction.
Well, Gene, you'd be surprised. I'm going to have to start forwarding some of these emails to you. Because there are a lot of people that think they're actually made of matter. And then I ask them, well, can you show me where it is? Because I'd like to have a look myself.
It's in my brain. Is that what they say? They say it's in my brain?
Yeah, and then I say, well, what does what's in your brain have to do with anybody else's brain?
Right.
How does that become a law? What if you die?
Yeah, yeah. There goes the laws of logic. Your brain died.
Or did it exist before you existed?
That's the question that I normally ask. I say, could the sun have been both the sun and not the sun at the same time and in the same way before humans invented the law of non-contradiction?
Right. So the atheist, once again, if he's looking himself in the mirror, is going to have to choose that the laws of logic, mathematics, science, and absolute morality are immaterial. So when he clicks on that button... Oh, wait a minute. Did I skip a step here? Step 6B? There's
yeah,
a thing.
That's right. Yeah, we didn't read that one.
Oh, the laws of logic, mathematics, science, and absolute morality are universal. Now, I could see them trying to fudge on this one.
Yeah.
The laws of logic, mathematics, science, and absolute morality are individual. It's true for me, bro.
What was it Gordon Stein said with his debate with Banson? The conventions made by man.
Yeah.
So we just got this committee together. He said, hey, you know what? I kind of like this law of non-contradiction. Let's vote on it.
Yeah. Normally at this point, I say, well, if they're not universal, I'm going to make up my own that say that everything that you say is wrong.
Yeah. And every time you're disagreeing with my position, you're agreeing with my position.
That's right, yes.
All right, so let's say for the sake of time that they admit that they're universal. That takes them over to step 7, which is they're unchanging. The laws of logic, mathematics, science, and absolute morality are unchanging. So if they say that they're conventions, then they could say that they're changing.
Yeah, they a lot of times they say, well, look at the morality that's changed in the Bible. I have to direct them to the fact, you know, that behavior has nothing to do with absolute moral laws.
Right. So when you get to this page, it says, to reach this page, you had to acknowledge that immaterial, universal, unchanging laws of logic, mathematics, science, and absolute morality exist. Universal, immaterial, unchanging laws are necessary for rational thinking to be possible. Universal, immaterial, unchanging laws cannot be accounted for if the universe was random and only material in nature, or only material in nature. The Bible teaches us that there are two types of people in this world, those who profess the truth of God's existence and those who suppress the truth of God's existence. The options of seeking God or not believing in God are unavailable. The Bible never attempts to prove the existence of God, as it declares that the existence of God is so obvious that we are without excuse for not believing in Him. Romans 1:18-21 says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Only in a universe governed by God can universal, immaterial, unchanging laws exist. Only in a universe governed by God can rational thinking be possible. We use rational thinking to prove things. Therefore, step 8, the proof that God exists, and then it takes you over to another page that says, the proof that God exists is that without Him, you couldn't prove anything. Continue. Now, I bet you a lot of people get hung up here. They don't get it. What do you mean, you couldn't prove anything?
So, yeah, I think I'm going to have to add some more explanations along that line, too, because, you know, proof requires logic, it requires knowledge, and it requires truth. It requires universal, abstract invariance, none of which can be...
Right, and that's the key word there that you used, account. Okay, we can prove things inconsistently without the Christian worldview, but account for that proof. That's another question, and that's when the transcendental argument becomes, I would argue, the silver bullet.
Right, we're not saying that atheists can't be logical. We're not saying that atheists can't be moral. We're saying that they can't account for these things.
Yeah. Van Til said the accountant can count. He just can't account for his counting.
I think this would be a good point to interject, too, that the reason that you do this show and that I do this website, it's for them. You know, it's that we believe in a hell and we don't want them to go there. We have fun at their expense, but the thing is, it's out of a love for them. It's out of, you know, what their future entails and how their life is now, how empty their lives must be that we do this. You know, we have fun at their expense, but it's out of love that we do this.
Yeah, and I see that in the way you've just shared this website with us. And your commitment to this website as well.
is further evidence of your love for these men, that you want to see them come to the knowledge of the truth, as the Bible says.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. And I've had lots of positive feedback from this, and fulfilling to see people that that God reveals things to people through this. I know that I'm only a tool. A lot of atheists like when I admit that.
Yeah. Hey, Cy, thanks for being with us. We're out of time on this edition.
All right. Just for the Christians that are listening, just if you proceed to the God Exists portion, that's where the website actually starts. There's a lot of information there for them.
We'll talk to you later, Cy. Thanks for being with us today.
See you, John. Bye-bye.
All right, folks, we're out of time once again for this edition of The Narrow Mind. Thank you for listening. We want to thank all of our monthly pledge partners, those of you that contribute on a monthly basis. You really are a blessing to this ministry. You help us pay the bills around here, and it's less of a burden for me as the guy who's responsible for writing the checks. So I want to thank you for sticking with us. I want to also encourage those of you that might want to help out. You can become a pledge partner by going to the homepage and clicking on the pledge partner information tab at the top of the page. That brings us to the end of this edition of The Narrow Mind. We're going to be out in Santa Monica tonight. If any of you are listening in Southern California, near Santa Monica Beach or Santa Monica Pier, we're going to be out there doing some evangelism. And if you're in that area, I hope to see you. I'm going to be taking my video camera, so I may have some video footage to upload to YouTube in the near future. I'm hoping for that. Until next time, may God richly bless the study of His Word.
Narrow Mind, real Christianity in the real world. You won't hear this kind of Christianity on your AM, FM radio.
In your life, you seem to have it all. You seem to have control. But deep within your soul, you're losing it. Yeah. You never took the time. Assume that you're to blame.